Okay, so we're ready to go deep on AI today.
We are.
And wow, you have given us quite a reading list for this one.
It's going to be a good one.
It really is. It seems like the heart of all of this is that bigger isn't always better when it comes to artificial intelligence.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
That's a really good way to sum it up.
So are you ready to dive in?
I am.
Okay.
Let's do it.
It seems like we've been trying to build more powerful AI by just like constantly feeding it more data. More data, more data. But these sources are arguing that that might have its limitations.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a fascinating shift in perspective because you're right. For so long, we've just been thinking, okay, we just need to build bigger models and shove as much data in there as possible, and somehow magically intelligence will emerge. But I think what these sources really highlight is that it's not just about the quantity of the data, it's also about how that data is being used and understood and applied.
Yeah, it's like trying to learn a new language by memorizing the dictionary.
Yeah.
You might know all the words, but can you actually have a conversation?
Exactly. And that's kind of the crux of the problem here. A lot of these AI systems right now are very good at memorizing patterns and data, but they're not so good at actually understanding the meaning behind that data. So, you gave that great example of learning a language, right? Like, I could give you a dictionary with every single word in the English language, and you could memorize that dictionary front to back. But if I then asked you to have a conversation with me about, what you did last weekend, or what are your hopes and dreams for the future, you wouldn't be able to do that just from memorizing a dictionary. You need to understand the underlying structure of the language, how those words fit together, the grammar, the syntax, the semantics, all of that. And I think that's what's missing from a lot of current AI systems.
So how do we design AI that is more strategic about how it learns?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, right? I mean, one of the things that these articles talk about that I think is really interesting is they use this example of catching a ball.
Okay.
So if you think about how our brains work when we're catching a ball, we don't consciously calculate every single variable. We're not sitting there with like a calculator in our heads going, okay, what's the trajectory? What's the wind speed? What's the gravitational pull? We're not doing any of that. But current AI systems, a lot of times they try to process every single bit of data, and that's incredibly inefficient. It doesn't scale very well to the complexity of the real world.
So if our brains are not like calculating every single thing, how do they decide what's important, what to focus on?
Yeah, so this is where this idea of cognitive architecture comes in. Essentially, what we're talking about here is using the human brain as a blueprint for AI. Right, so instead of just trying to build these massive neural networks that are kind of like black boxes, we're trying to actually understand how the human brain works, how it processes information, how it learns, and then use those principles to design better AI systems.
And is that where this idea of cognitive architecture comes in?
That's exactly it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the term that's often used to describe this approach of essentially trying to reverse engineer the human brain and figure out, okay, how can we take what we know about how our brains work and apply that to building more intelligent machines?
So it's almost like we're trying to build an AI brain instead of just an AI that like performs a task.
In a way, yeah. I mean, it's not that we're trying to perfectly replicate the human brain because the human brain is incredibly complex. We don't even fully understand how it works ourselves.
Right.
But the idea is that by studying the brain, we can glean these principles of intelligence, these kind of fundamental algorithms that we can then use to build more powerful and more general purpose AI.
And that's really interesting because one of the sources used the example of DeepMind learning chess and Go.
Yes.
And even though those are both strategic games, the AI had to start from scratch with each one.
Right.
Our brains don't work that way.
Exactly. And that's another key difference, right? Like if you or I were to learn chess and then we were to learn Go, we wouldn't start from scratch with Go. We would take some of the principles that we learned in chess about strategy and planning, and we would apply those to Go. But a lot of current AI systems, they're not very good at transferring knowledge from one domain to another. They're very siloed in their learning, which is obviously not how human intelligence works.
So what would it take for AI to sort of be able to make those connections between different things?
Well, that's where this idea of analogical learning comes in.
Okay.
And this is something that humans are incredibly good at, right? We're constantly making connections between different experiences and using our past knowledge to understand new situations. For example, if I were to show you a picture of a fruit that you'd never seen before, you would probably be able to make some pretty good guesses about what that fruit is like based on your prior knowledge of other fruits, right? So you might look at its size, its shape, its color, and you might say, oh, this kind of reminds me of an apple, or this kind of reminds me of an orange, and therefore I'm going to guess that it tastes sweet or tart or whatever. And that's analogical learning in action. We're using our past experiences to make sense of new information.
That's about working smarter, not harder. Instead of massive data sets and brute force processing, it's sounds like this new vision for AI is really about mimicking how our brains process information.
You got it.
Dynamically, efficiently, and with an emphasis on relevance.
And I think that's a really important distinction to make, because for a long time, the focus has been on just building bigger and faster computers. But what these sources are arguing is that that's not enough. We need to actually rethink the underlying algorithms, the underlying software that's powering these AI systems, and we need to take inspiration from the most powerful learning machine that we know of, which is the human brain.
But how do we bridge that gap? Like, how do we get from AI as we know it now to this new vision that seems really complex?
It is complex, but that's what we're going to unpack today.
Okay, let's do it.
It is complex, but I think one of the key ideas here is this notion of local processing. So, you know, we tend to think of like AI and computers as having this kind of central processor where everything gets sent and everything gets processed. But our brains actually don't work that way at all.
It's like decentralized.
It's very decentralized. Yeah. Our brains are made up of all these different regions that are specialized for different tasks. And these regions are constantly communicating with each other and sharing information. But there's no like central CEO brain that's making all the decisions.
So it's more like a company that has a bunch of different teams that specialize in different things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you think about a company, right? You've got your marketing team, your sales team, your engineering team, and they all have their own areas of expertise, but they need to be able to work together in a coordinated way to achieve the company's overall goals.
And then somehow it all just works together.
Right. And that's the amazing thing about the brain is that it's able to do all of this incredibly complex processing without us even having to think about it. Like, we're not consciously aware of all the different computations that are happening in our brains every second of every day, but it's all happening behind the scenes.
It's true. We really take it for granted.
We do. We do.
It's mind-blowing when you really think about it.
Yeah.
One of the things that really struck me was this idea of learning from incomplete information.
Yeah.
And the sources use the example of language acquisition, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, how do kids learn to speak without needing every single grammar rule explained to them?
It's incredible, isn't it? Like, if you think about how we teach AI systems to understand language, we have to give them these massive data sets of text, and we have to label every single word and every single grammatical structure. But kids don't learn that way at all. They just pick it up through exposure and interaction.
Exactly. They're immersed in language from the moment they're born, and they're constantly hearing new words and new grammatical structures, and they're able to figure out the rules of language just by observing how it's used in context.
So how do we even begin to replicate that in AI? How do we teach a machine to connect the dots, so to speak, and make sense of incomplete information?
Well, this is where I think analogical learning comes in.
Which is something that we talked about a little bit earlier. And this is really about teaching AI systems to learn by analogy. So to recognize patterns and relationships between different concepts, even if those concepts are not explicitly linked. So it's like if you see a new type of fruit, your brain can kind of compare it to other fruits that you've seen before and make some guesses about what it might be like.
Exactly. Yeah, you might look at it and say, well, it's kind of shaped like an apple, but it's got the color of a pear, so maybe it tastes like a combination of the two. And that's essentially what analogical learning is all about. It's about taking what you already know and using it to make sense of new information.
So it's like the difference between memorizing a bunch of facts and actually understanding the underlying principles.
Because if you understand the principles, you can apply that knowledge to any number of situations, even if you've never encountered them before.
Right. Like if you understand the principles of physics, you can apply those principles to understand how a car works or how a plane flies, even if you've never studied cars or planes specifically.
And that feels like what's missing from a lot of AI today. It's like you can do one thing really well, but then you ask it to do something else, even if it's related, it's like starting from scratch.
Exactly. And that's why I think this idea of analogical learning is so important, because it's about moving beyond just brute force memorization and toward a deeper understanding of how knowledge is structured and how it can be applied in different contexts. And I think that's really the key to unlocking the next level of AI capabilities.
So instead of thinking about building an AI that's like a supercomputer, Maybe we need to be thinking about building an AI that's more like
a human.
Yeah.
Like a human brain.
Exactly. And I think that's a really profound shift in perspective, because for a long time, we've been so focused on building AI that can outperform humans on specific tasks, like playing chess or recognizing images. But what if instead we focused on building AI that can learn and adapt and solve problems the way that humans do? AI that can understand the world in all its complexity and nuance.
Yeah.
AI that can truly think for itself.
I mean, that's the dream, right?
That's the ultimate goal.
But it feels like we're still so far away from that.
We are. We are. But I think we're getting closer. And I think part of what's going to get us there is this shift in focus from just building bigger and faster computers to actually understanding the principles of intelligence itself. And I think the human brain is the best model we have for that. Yeah, it's like we have this incredible piece of technology right here in our own heads.
Right there.
But we still don't fully understand how it works.
And yet it's capable of things that we can't even begin to replicate with artificial intelligence.
It's really quite amazing.
It is.
This has been awesome.
It has.
I feel like we've been on quite the journey.
I have.
Exploring the limitations of current AI and then this incredible potential of the human brain.
Absolutely.
But if we were to sort of like bring it all together and think about, okay, what does this mean for the future of AI? What would you say are like the key takeaways from this new vision?
Well, I think the biggest takeaway is that this new vision for AI isn't about building bigger, more data-hungry systems. It's about building smarter ones.
Okay.
It's about shifting from this brute force processing to systems that learn and adapt more like our brains do.
Which, as we've been discussing, means focusing on things like local processing, dynamic learning, and logical reasoning.
Exactly.
It's about teaching AI to learn how to learn, not just teaching it a bunch of facts.
You got it. And I think that shift has some pretty profound implications.
Like what?
Well, for one, it could make AI far more accessible.
Okay.
Because right now, developing advanced AI requires these massive data sets and this incredible computing power that only a handful of large companies and institutions even have access to.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of conversation right now about how do we make AI more democratic?
Yeah.
How do we make it so that anybody can use it?
Absolutely.
And if it requires these like massive, expensive systems, then that's not really a possibility.
Exactly. So if we can develop AI that can learn from smaller, more focused data sets, it could really democratize access to this technology.
That would be incredible.
Yeah. Imagine a future where small businesses, researchers, even individual developers mm-hmm. can harness the power of AI to solve problems that are specific to their needs.
Without needing like $1 million.
Exactly. Without needing access to massive data centers or expensive hardware.
It's wild to think about.
It is. It really changes the game.
It really does.
And I think it also potentially addresses some of the concerns that people have about AI.
Okay. Like what?
Well, you know, there's a lot of talk about job displacement.
Right.
And the potential for AI to become uncontrollable or even dangerous.
Right, which keeps me up at night.
Yeah, and those are valid concerns.
Yeah.
But I think this new vision for AI might actually help to mitigate some of those risks, because by focusing on AI that is more transparent, explainable, and aligned with human values, we might be able to develop AI that is more trustworthy and less prone to these unintended consequences.
So it's not just about making AI more powerful, but also making it safer and ultimately making it more beneficial for humanity.
Exactly. It's about remembering that AI is a tool.
Yeah.
And like any tool, it can be used for good or for bad.
Right.
And it's up to us to ensure that we're developing AI in a way that is aligned with our values and that benefits all of humanity.
This has been so thought-provoking. It really feels like we're on the cusp of something really big here.
I think so too.
It makes you appreciate the power of the human brain in a whole new way.
It really does. It makes you realize how much we still don't understand about our own intelligence.
Right.
But it also gives you a sense of hope that by unlocking the secrets of the human brain, we might be able to create a future where AI is truly aligned with our best interests.
It's really incredible to think about all of the possibilities.
It is.
And I want to thank you for taking us on this deep dive. It was fascinating.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And thank all of you for listening.